The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "I am going away and you will look for me, but you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "He's not going to kill himself, is he? Because he said, 'Where I am going, you cannot come.'" He said to them, "You belong to what is below. I belong to what is above. You belong to this world, but I do not belong to this world. That is why I told you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins." So they said to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "What I told you from the beginning. I have much to say about you in condemnation. But the one who sent me is true, and what I've heard from him I tell the world." They did not realize that he was speaking to them of the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will realize that I am, and that I do nothing on my own. But I say only what the Father taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, because I always do what is pleasing to him." Because he spoke this way, many came to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Now we're in a special hour of Lent. These last 2 weeks, they're known as Passion Tide, or at least traditionally they're known as Passion Tide. And the reason they're called such is because the prayers at Mass, partly the readings at Mass, but most especially the prayers at Mass, in these last 2 weeks of Lent, they really change focus. Up until now, they have been about our conversion and repentance, prayer, fasting, almsgiving. But in the last 2 weeks of Lent, they begin to focus exclusively on Jesus' suffering and death and his cross. Now, here in Passion Tide today, we have a really tough spiritual lesson. One of the toughest spiritual lessons that you can possibly learn. Namely, that the healing that you need comes from embracing the cross that you've been sent. Hopefully you already know that you are in need of spiritual healing. You're not a saint yet. You're replete with all kinds of faults. And you seem helpless to be able to overcome them. And the cross that God has sent into your life is like an Rx from the divine physician. It's one of the toughest spiritual lessons that you'll ever have to learn. The healing that you need comes from embracing the cross that you've been sent. So in the first reading, we hear a story of the Israelites, and they're making their way through the desert to the promised land. Now, when you hear about the Israelites going through the desert, remember, the desert is a metaphor for this life. The desert is a place of deprivation. It's a place of hardship and yearning and trying to get through it on the promise of something better. That's us. This life is a place of hardship. It's a place of pain and deprivation. Not that it's all bad, don't get me wrong, but you know, by and large, we weren't made for this place. And we hear that there's this promised land, promised by God, this kingdom of heaven, mysterious. But there's one thing we know for sure. We're not there yet, right? We're pressing on. Now, as the Israelites made their way through the desert, God guided them every step of the way. Pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. And as long as the people kept their eyes on the Lord, they were just fine. But when they took their eyes off the Lord, they started to falter, just like they did today in the first reading. And they took their eyes off the Lord and looked at the hardship and the deprivation around them, and they started to complain. And they said, "We're tired of this desert, and we're tired of this deprivation, and we're tired of this food, and we all want to go back to Egypt." And God sent serpents to bite the people. Now, not that God's mean. But do you know that sometimes when your heart wanders from God, the only way he can get you to come back is by allowing some kind of hardship to enter into your life. That's what he does in the first reading. And it works. People turn to God. People turn to Moses. Moses, please tell God to help us. Moses says, what do I do, God? God says, make a bronze serpent, set it on a pole, hold it up high. Anybody who looks at that serpent will be healed. Now, what a strange command. Make a serpent and put it on a pole. Because wasn't a serpent the problem in the first place? It's what bit all the people. You can go back to the book of Genesis. You can go back to the Garden of Eden. Wasn't the serpent the problem in the first place? What a strange command. But you know what you're seeing there? It's a page out of God's playbook. God is going to use evil itself to defeat evil. He's not going to let evil win. He's not even going to let it win one single step. The curse is going to become the means of healing. And it's actually a prefiguring of the cross in that sense. The curse becomes the means of healing. Just like suffering and death came into the world by sin, healing and life come into the world by means of the cross. But notice, suffering and death didn't come into the world from the idea of the sin, but from actually committing a sin. Similarly, healing and life don't come from the idea of a cross. They come from embracing it with faith. It's the Rx from the divine physician to embrace the cross that you've been given. And you know, the patient's not very wise if he goes to the doctor and he says, I don't like this medicine. Give me a new medicine. I don't like this medicine at all. Have a little bit of trust in the doc and have a whole lot of faith in God. Be careful now. You need to embrace the cross that you've been given. And what I mean by that is to accept it as best you can in faith and prayer. It doesn't mean it's not going to hurt. It doesn't mean it's not going to sag your spirit. And when I say cross, you know, for most people, that's one of three things. It's a relationship, it's a financial problem, or it's a health problem of some fashion or another. One of those three things. Maybe it's a strained relationship. Maybe you lost a loved one in death. Maybe it's a health problem. Maybe it's yourself. Maybe it's someone you love and you feel powerless to change it. Or maybe it's financial. Embrace the cross that you've been given as well as you possibly can. Pray about it. Trust in the Lord, even if it's just a sheer act of the will and is not accompanied by any feelings whatsoever. Because, I'm sorry to say this, but suffering alone is useless. We are not masochists. Suffering in faith can heal you. Let's not forget that suffering in an absence of faith can condemn you. If you suffer and all you do is complain about it, you're getting worse, not better. And the lesson for that is from the two thieves who died on the cross with Christ, one on his right and the other on his left. And you remember the story. One of them embraced his cross. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Look to the Lord. The other one looked to himself. Oh, this is such a terrible cross. God, get me down off this cross. Remember, always suffer with faith. And you look back on this time, actually being this blessed time. The Israelites look back on their time in the desert as the most blessed time of all. They say, oh, to have been with that original generation that was with Moses in the desert. What a blessed time in which God made his people his own. And are you aware that from the perspective of heaven, you are going to bless the cross that came into your life? What we want to do is pray for the faith to bless that cross now, because he's healing us. He's making us his own people. And by that cross, he's bringing us home. Amen.